Welcome, everybody, and I'm super excited today to introduce you to somebody I've known for more than 30 years. Oh, that's so frightening to say. He's an amazing human being, and his name is Dawson Church, and he is the award-winning author whose best-selling book, The Genie in Your Genes, has been hailed by reviewers as a breakthrough in our understanding of the link between emotions and genetics. He founded the National Institute for Integrative Healthcare so he could study and implement promising evidence-based psychological and medical techniques. His groundbreaking research has been published in lots of prestigious scientific journals, and he's the editor of Energy Psychology, Theory, Research, and Treatment, which is a peer-reviewed professional journal. And today, we've got this really sexy topic to talk about. It's called Hack Your Hormones for Lasting Love, Tapping Deep Intimacy. So, Dawson, welcome.
Ariel, it is so good to be here, and I have a passion for this topic.
Oh,
and what
thank
you're doing,
you.
So
and
I'm thrilled
for the three people that might be listening who don't know what tapping is, because I think everybody else who's been following me knows what a fan I am of tapping. Tapping is this fantastic way to release physical and emotional pain by tapping on your face and your body in different meridian points. That's the short version. Dawson, maybe you want to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, you tap with your fingertips on 12 acupuncture endpoints. So it uses acupressure rather than needles. And tapping that pressure on those points sends a calming signal to the part of the brain that governs emotion and stimulates the fight or flight response. So when you think of a bad thing, when you have a bad experience, when you're anxious, depressed, sad, triggered in some way, if you tap, you then calm the emotional brain and remove all of the emotional charge from that bad event. So that's why it works so well. That's why it's grown so fast. And we were amazed to do a web search a couple of years ago and find out that several million people a month are looking for tapping using Google searches. And over 2 million people a month go to the top 5 EFT websites.
And Dawson,
so
you're going to send me a little chart, right, with the points on it so we can put it up right next to this interview where people can see where those points are. Is that possible? Okay, that would be great. Okay,
for you, Ariel,
well, let's
anything.
Jump in here. You know, one of the things probably everybody's experienced is that, you know, when we first fall in love with somebody, we're in this great peak experience known as the honeymoon period. But then the honeymoon ends, and sometimes couples split up. Why is that?
Well, we've all seen this, and we've all gone through it many times usually. And things seem so wonderful when you're in that honeymoon period. Colors seem brighter, your emotions seem vivid, people have sex all the time. If they're adults, there's this intense chemistry bonding them together. And then it fades. It fades in 6 months to 2 years, and there's a big crash. And suddenly you start to notice the faults in your partner. The sex is a lot less frequent and often a lot less passionate. You aren't as enamored of them anymore, and the relationship can seem very, very flat after a couple of years. So there's this peak and this trough. And so I ask myself, in terms of evolutionary biology, why did we evolve to have that peak and trough? If you look at our hormones, like our bonding hormone, our main bonding hormone is oxytocin. And oxytocin is sky high when we're in love, when we're in that honeymoon period. But then after about a year, it's relatively lower. It's having a lot less of an effect on us. So why would Mother Nature design us to have these peaks and valleys? And the answer is very simply genetic variety. It really helps to have genetic variety and for us to breed with as many other people as possible, because the chances of it throwing up a useful genetic mutation are higher. For, you know, things like apes and other primates have fingers a lot like ours, hands a lot like ours. What they don't have is an opposable thumb. And at some point there was a mutation in the gene that builds hands, and a primate had an opposable thumb that could swivel around and grasp something like a tool. Huge, important evolutionary innovation. And so Mother Nature likes to experiment, likes to play with lots of different possibilities in the hopes that one mutation will be really useful in survival. So that's why we have this pattern of wanting to mate with lots of different people. If you take a rat, a male rat, put a rat in a cage with a female rat, the male rat will copulate with the female. If you then put a new female in, the male will ignore the first female and copulate with the second female only. If you put a third female in, the male rat will ignore the first two and copulate only with the third female rat until the male rat collapses in exhaustion. So, you know, this biological imperative to mate and have variety. That, so it's wonderful for the honeymoon period, but then it leaves us flat. And so we have these inbuilt hormonal responses that argue against long-term relationships. It's just part of our biology. We can't change it, fix it, or do anything about it. It's just a fixed point in our anatomy and physiology. So that's why we have that big, exciting initial honeymoon period.
Okay, so how do we overcome this?
It all falls flat. It's impossible. No, I'm kidding. Well, for a long time, it was thought to be, if not impossible, really hard to do. But I know some of the other speakers on your series, like John Gray and Gay Hendricks, I talked to John about this at length. And what we're noticing is that if you do certain things, like, for example, EFT is wonderful. EFT is a great stress reducer. If you use EFT to reduce your stress, so when you're tempted to yell at your mate, when you're tempted to go do an old behavior that bothers you, you don't do it. That really helps. If you go into your childhood and clean up all your old childhood experiences so you're no longer projecting them onto your current partner, if you're no longer bringing them into your marriage or your partnership or to your first date, then suddenly you're free from all those early traumas and you aren't reenacting them. And in the absence of reenacting your childhood traumas, in the absence of acting on your current annoyances, you really foster love. And that love then starts to change the way you are. Actually, starts to change your brain. And what happens is that this whole cycle then shifts. And what you can do is conscious activities to shift that usual hormonal cycle. One of my favorite ones is novelty. If you do new things with your partner, like my wife and I are learning French, for example. We're just learning French as a new thing to do. We go to new places fairly often. We just do things deliberately to stimulate interest. So suddenly I'm with the same old person, my wife, I've been married to, but I'm learning French. I'm in a French class. Or we went to a painting class a few weeks back. So again, same person, but in a novel surrounding. So you start to then bring the association in your brain together between your partner and novelty. What that does, the brain pays a lot of attention to novelty. If, for instance, I start to speak very slowly like this, you pay very close attention. Something's changed. I normally talk a mile a minute. If I suddenly start to talk slowly, then that'll shift the brain. The brain will start to pay attention. So in that way, you make your partner the new rat. You make your partner the new person. What then happens is absolutely magical, because if you keep on making your partner the new person, the novel stimulus, then all of your attachment, all of your sense of safety, all of your brain's wiring to be attached to somebody and attracted to somebody gets focused on your partner. Then you start to have these huge floods of oxytocin and other positive endorphins that course through your body. Like, I know when my wife walks up, she parks outside my office, walks up to the office, I see her out the window, I notice my shoulders relax, my breathing gets deeper, I start to feel really good just seeing this woman from a great distance, because I associate that person with safety, with pleasure, with joy, with exuberance, with all kinds of positive things. So it does take work. This isn't an instant shift. But you literally are hacking your hormones. You're driving your oxytocin high. You're driving your stress hormones low. You're driving your pleasure and excitement hormones high by this frequent association with your partner. And you're using this whole system that Mother Nature built, which would normally tear you apart,
I love that. And
bond you closer
together. You and your wife also have what you call the tapping and talking rule? What's that?
We have a rule. We have a bunch of agreements in our marriage, and one of those is no talking without tapping. If there's any kind of tension, we have to talk about any kind of a problem, we start tapping first, then start talking. No way we're going to start talking, then start tapping, because if you start talking without tapping, then you aren't discharging any possible emotional stress. So if we have any kind of emotionally charged conversation to have, like, you know, just right this last week, I'll pick a kind of silly example, but she's decorating for a party. We're having a bunch of friends over for a party. And so that involves change, which I tend to not like, and involves her changing things in the house, which I tend to get a little bit uncomfortable with. So whenever we talk about the party, I just do some tapping. And then I've been doing this for 2 or 3 weeks now, Ariel. And last night, we were talking about the party, and not only was I not stressing about it, I was seeing it through the eyes of my wife. I realized my wife is as excited as a kid in a candy store. She went to the dollar store yesterday. She spent $32. on plates, and she was so excited about these plates she bought. And suddenly, I'm with her in the experience. I'm seeing it through her eyes, and so tapping and talking, I discharged all my stress. And eventually, was able to see it in a whole new light. Same event, she didn't change, the party didn't change, my own aversion to alterations in our life didn't change. But tapping helped me see the same thing.
You know, whenever Brian sees me tapping, he usually thinks, "Oh no, what did I do?" You know, and I have to remind him, oh, I'm not tapping because you did anything. I'm tapping because we're on the freeway, you're going 80 miles an hour, and I'm a nervous Nelly on the freeway, so I'm just tapping to keep myself sane. You know.
And that helps your marriage, too, because then you aren't getting all anxious. Even if you didn't say anything about being anxious, he would feel it energetically, and it would affect him. So you're doing so much for your marriage by... It's also... grabbing your own sense of sovereignty. It's not saying you have to change. You don't have to drive 60 rather than 80. You do your thing. You're a human being. You're an autonomous being. I'm going to take care of my own emotional reaction. My own emotional reaction is not about you, and I'm not going to transfer responsibility for my own emotional state onto you and then demand you change. I call that, we have this online relationship course called Tapping Deep Intimacy, and I call that Dawson's Guaranteed Formula for marital disaster, is to hand your power to somebody else, project it onto them, and say, in order for me to be happy, you have to change. That is a formula that guarantees you failure and misery in your relationship.
That's the subject of this entire new book, Turn Your Mate into Your Submate, to your soulmate, rather, is all about personal responsibility, that we are responsible for our own happiness. And along the way, we can learn new, better ways to communicate with our partner while we're also managing our emotional reactions to the things we may be judging that they've done bad or wrong.
That ability to manage your own emotional reactions is I think it's the single most important relationship skill. If you can manage your own emotional reactions, you have a chance of creating a good relationship. If you can't manage your emotional reactions and you keep on, there's a wonderful phrase from brain researcher Joseph Ledoux, which he may not be on your radar, but is like super famous in the whole field of brain function, and he calls it, and I want to say this slowly so you really get the impact of these words, he calls it the hostile takeover of consciousness by emotion. When you're highly emotional, it just takes over your consciousness. I have an amazing video which shows what happens to capillaries, to blood vessels, when you're stressed. When you're stressed, especially in your thinking brain, your prefrontal cortex, your cognitive executive part of your brain, those capillaries shrink and they force 70% of the blood out of your forebrain and into your peripheral muscles. So there you have this wonderful thinking brain. It can do nonviolent communication. It can do active listening. It's learned all these fantastic skills, and it's offline. It's like me having my laptop with me, and I have all these wonderful programs on the laptop, but if the hard drive's turned off, they're inaccessible to me. Literally, you're pulling the power plug on your thinking brain when you're stressed, and you do and say things to your partner in that stress state you would never do if you weren't stressed. That's why emotional self-regulation, of the kind you're talking about, I think is the most important skill.
Will you share with us the story about Josh and Celeste?
Yeah, there are so many stories I've come across. I have had a real passion about applying EFT to relationships because, Ariel, relationships can be heaven. We all know this during that honeymoon period. But so many people are living in hell. They're living in horrible relationships, and the relationships are a source of strife, a source of anguish, a source of friction, a source of conflict, a source of disconnection. And I've been so sad to watch some of my friends get divorced, and then especially the effect on their kids. I've seen kids just really heavily impacted by divorce. And so I thought, what can I do about this? So I wanted to apply EFT to love relationships. And it's fantastic when you do. But Celeste was somebody in one of our classes, and she had this complaint about her husband, who was not in the class. She was taking the class alone. And what she was talking about, she said, my husband does not do his fair share of the housework, and it's really causing a problem in our relationship. And so we tapped with her on that feeling in her body. And she had this sort of tense feeling in her body when she thought about her husband and the heart and the housework. So I had her follow that feeling back to an early childhood event in her life. And she tuned into a time when she was a little girl, and she came from Eastern Europe originally, and her dad would sit around with her uncles and their buddies, and they would drink beer and smoke cigarettes, and her mom and her sisters and the women would do all the work. So she just saw for years and years and years, this was her imprinting growing up, how unfair it was that the women did all the work and the men just goofed off. And so we tapped on that early event. We never actually tapped on her husband not helping her with the housework. We finished tapping on that, and I said, now tell me about your husband again. And she burst into tears and said, I'm writing him. I'm nagging him every day, and I realize he does a lot. He tries so hard, and it's never enough for me. She realized that she was the problem. She was projecting it onto him, and for as long as she projected out there onto him, she never solved it. She always was trying to make him solve it. When she tapped on the childhood event that was the basis of her emotional trauma, that was the basis of her emotional reaction, then suddenly the adult events all had a very different meaning. And again, her husband still did what he did, but suddenly she was seeing them in a whole different light. So it's really important to drill down into our childhood, see how we set ourselves up for experiences back then, and not make it about our current mate, our current partner. It's almost always, I do a lot of live workshops, and when people tell me their problems and work with me up front in the live workshops, they'll tell me their sad story. My husband doesn't, my wife doesn't, my kids, my boss, my colleagues, whatever. I just ignore what they're saying. I go into their childhoods, and it's almost always a pattern that was established with mommy and daddy and the people around me. So you go in there with EFT, tap on all of those things, and suddenly all of your adult annoyances and reactions.
I know how true that is. And I think you have another story that really illustrates this about Nancy, the university professor.
Oh, that was a biggie. Hers was also about her husband. And she said, my husband doesn't show any interest in my work. They were both professors, and she used to go to a lot of conferences. And she was a brilliant woman. She was a Chinese-American, and she was a very accomplished presenter. And she said, I go to his conferences, I support him, but he doesn't go to my conferences. And she was really angry at him, and her resentment had built up over decades around this. And she was ready to pop over this behavior on the part of her husband. And again, I had her tune into her body, feel her feelings, and it turned out that an event popped into her mind when she was 3 or 4 years old. And she'd been working with her mom, and her mom had yanked her when she was going down the stairs, and she'd fallen down the stairs. And a neighbor saw this, and so Nancy landed on the stairs. She wasn't terribly hurt, but she was shaken, she was winded, she began to cry. And her mom said to the neighbor, "What a stupid girl, she can't even keep her feet." So that is the kind of event. Now, it wasn't life-threatening, but it was deeply, deeply emotionally traumatic. So not only did Nancy have this unpleasant event of falling down the stairs that was brought about by her mother, she needed to be held. She needed to be loved. She needed to have that trauma discharged. And instead, she got blamed for it when her mother said, "Stupid girl," to the neighbor. So we tapped on that, and we tapped on a bunch of events around her mom. And then I went back to her husband. Now, again, we haven't tapped on her husband, and he's not coming to her conferences at all. We have not even talked about that. We've just talked about her little Nancy experiences. So I said, "Now tell me about your husband and him not going to these conferences with you." And she just burst out laughing. She said, "You know, my husband's kind of boring. If he really held me back if he went to these conferences, I have way more fun by myself." Everyone in the room is just like laughing and cracking up because it makes such a difference to do the tapping and to no longer be making it about your spouse. You know, one other story about childhood trauma. When my youngest son was 4 years old, one day we were in a grocery store, and it was Halloween time, and they were handing out balloons. And these were helium balloons, so they were attached to a string, and they would tie these helium balloons to the wrists of kids. So there I was with my son and my daughter, who was about 12 at the time, and we had my young son in the shopping cart with his helium balloon tied to his wrist. But being a little boy and being adventurous, his mission became to untie the balloon. So he kept on trying to untie the balloon, and my daughter was saying, "Now, if you untie the balloon will drift off. You won't have the balloon anymore." And he really got to love this balloon. He actually we gave it a name, Mr. Halloween Balloon. It was a yellow and black balloon, and he loved swatting it, but he kept trying to untie the balloon. We kept retying it to his wrist. So in the car on the way home, he was in the back seat, in his car seat. He finally succeeded in untying the balloon. And when we opened the door of our car and got out, the balloon blew out in the wind, landed on some
Oh no.
sharp plants, and popped. And his face just contorted into this mask of grief. He began to cry like his heart was breaking as he saw the balloon. He watched the balloon pop. He was just bawling. And then he jumped out of the car. He was standing on the running board. He jumped out of the car into my arms, threw his arms around my neck, buried his face in my neck, and wailed like he was being dismembered for about maybe 5 seconds, 6 seconds, less than 10 seconds. And then he looked up, totally fine, looked around, saw my daughter taking bags of groceries out of the car, jumped out of my arms, ran off to help her, totally over it. That's how quickly we can process trauma. So he'd watched Mr. Halloween Balloon die, and he never even went over to look at the body or retrieve the balloon. He was just on to the next thing. But again, no words were exchanged. Now, I've got to say, my inner parent was thinking, "This is a teaching moment. I should tell him not to untie the balloons. I should tell him that it wasn't so bad. I should tell him blah, 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 bloody blah." No, I shouldn't do any of those things, because that's all the cognitive mind. That's all that thinking brain, out of which 70% of the blood has drained because he's stressed. He's not functioning at the cognitive level. That his hard drive is shut down. What he does need is he needs touch. He needs sympathy. He needs touch from another human being. This activates a complex of nerves called the vagus nerves. And the vagus that travels all the way up from our lower brainstem through our tongue. It travels all the way down our body. And it's tremendously responsive to touch, and just the touch, being touched, he discharged his trauma in less than 10 seconds. But most of us didn't have that kind of loving parenting. In fact, I had already bite my tongue not to be saying stuff to him, because I was hearing, you know, my dad's voice, my mom's voice saying, "No, Dawson, you shouldn't have blah, 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 blah." So you have to not do that and just be there for people, touch them, reassure them, do some EFT tapping, which is the same thing, and then the emotional brain calms down, then we can start to have good lives. So most of us are carrying around all this unprocessed, frozen trauma from our childhoods, and that's the work of adulthood, especially in relationships where it's all being triggered again. So you're being triggered by your husband, your wife, your kids, your aging parents, where all the stuff's being triggered. It's not being triggered to annoy you. We tell people it's being triggered so it can come to the surface of your awareness and you can heal it now,
really,
now that you're an adult.
This just so parallels what I've written about in Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate, because what most people don't understand is that when you're really with your soulmate, that's when it's safe for all your childhood wounds to be kicked up, to be healed, because there's no one better to help you see and heal your traumas than your soulmate. It's like they come with the owner's manual to the grid of all your pain points, you know, and then they start triggering them. And the thing that I love so much about the work you do and about tapping is that it's really a relatively easy and fast way to release trauma without having to lie on the couch with, you know, Freud for 30 years. You know, you don't always have to know exactly where it came from or why. If you have this awareness about it, you can tap and release it, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, lying on the couch for years may have the opposite effect. There's a phenomenon called re-traumatization. And you know about neural plasticity, about how as you send a signal through a neural pathway, the number of synaptic connections in that pathway increases. In fact, the Nobel Prize-winning work of Eric Kandel showed that if you take a stress signal and pass it through a neural pathway over and over again for an hour, you double the number of synaptic connections in that neural pathway. So when you are sitting there on the couch talking about your problems, you often are re-traumatizing yourself rather than solving them. If you tap, you have the opposite effect. I had a fun conversation last year with one of my heroes. He is elderly now, but his name is Stanislav Grof, and he was one of the pioneering psychiatrists working with LSD in the 1950s. Before I was even born, he was working with LSD, and is one of the just those amazing pioneers of psychiatry. And when I had this private talk with him last year, we were both keynoting a conference, and he said, when I was in graduate school, I spent 4 years going to Freudian psychoanalysis twice a week, usually for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And he said after 4 years, I had an amazingly detailed map of how screwed up I was and why. But I had no idea how to change. He had no idea how to change. And that's the crucial thing. EFT doesn't worry much about how you got so screwed up and why you have all these anxious reactions. It just cares about whether you heal and love yourself enough to get over them. So that kind of talk therapy where you're just recapping the bad things, describing them again, actually can re-traumatize you, can actually add signaling capacity to those circuits of anguish in your brain, whereas if you tap, you discharge them, you start to depotentiate them, and when you stop using that neural pathway, it starts to disintegrate in about 2 weeks. So, again, that Nobel Prize-winning research showed that if we quit using those anger circuits, maybe you were angry at your first wife or your first husband or historically, but you quit using that anger circuit, you tap instead, and within 2 weeks, those complex neural networks in your brain literally start to change, and within a few weeks, you have a new brain. You're building the circuits of compassion. You're building the circuits of patience. You're building the circuits of listening. You're building the circuits of love. You're reinforcing all of those circuits. And suddenly you go from being this angry, frustrated person doing relationships in this bad way over and over and over again. And you can totally rewire the way your brain functions in relationship land. So that's why I say you can tell I'm just passionate about bringing this message to people. They don't have to be satisfied with the way they are or the way that their relationships are. It's possible not just to change things on the outer level, but have a
whole
new brain.
And I can just testify one more time. This works so well. I probably tap 3 to 5 times a week about something, you know, and it could be just, you know, I get off a call and I'm frustrated with the way it went, or somebody sends me an email and I don't like the way they responded, or I get a headache, you know, and I just tap my way through it. And of course, when I can't tap on my own, I call an expert like you to tap me through it. One of the things I was hoping you could share with us is how your Tapping Deep Intimacy course not only can affect relationships, but how our relationships affect our health.
That's a biggie. Our relationships affect our health dramatically. There's more and more evidence showing that, for example, people who have bad relationships have much worse cardiovascular health and a much higher rate of mortality than those with loving and supportive relationships. And especially interesting are the studies of couples who have been together a long time. They tend to be in much better health if they have long-term successful marriages. So there's just huge amounts of research showing the link between a happy relationship and happy marriage, happy couple relationship. And so how do you spark that link? How do you shift your relationship? I realized, Ariel, that you and I were in classes with a Gestalt therapist a long time ago, Brad Blanton. And those classes were so useful. I actually began taking notes about how to apply that to relationships. And I looked at meditation, how you apply meditation to relationships. So I've been gathering information about this for about 30 years, trying to find the leverage points that could help people have very different experiences in their relationships. And so I packaged this information all together, those 30 years of looking into this, and also the hard scientific data about what really works to change your hormones, change your neurobiology. And that's our 12-week online Tapping Deep Intimacy course. So 1 week, for example, I teach you a super easy meditation technique called eco-meditation. Another week, you learn how to apply EFT and tapping to active listening, to make you a much better listener, much better receiver. You look at things like giving and receiving love. You look at things like, what do you do, for example, if one person in the couple is highly motivated to change and the other isn't? Most couples like this. They have an imbalance. One's taller than the other, one's shorter than the other. One likes one football, one likes basketball. People are different. So what if your spouse or partner has no interest in change? What do you do? I have a whole module. One of those 12 modules is about that problem, about spirituality and relationships, about the dark side. I have people confront the dark side right away, because that dark side can sabotage your relationships over and over and over again. And again, we conceal our dark side from our partner when we're in that honeymoon phase. But after the honeymoon phase, the dark side comes out and often will sabotage the relationship. So how do you deal with your dark side? And there are tools and techniques you can use to unearth it and work with it. So I go deep, and I have these 12 tools, essential skills that I believe people need. And it's we get testimonials also from people who are in the class, who have taken the class. I mean, just stuff will make you cry. People who, like one woman who just was in the class recently, said that she did the class alone. Her husband wasn't that interested, but then he began to shift as well. He then began to take an interest in this. He began to tap, and she said he used to just immerse himself in TV and beer at night. He didn't talk to me, tune me out. He was also a Vietnam veteran with PTSD. And she said, I can't believe it. Like, I've got a new husband again. He's not drinking. He's not watching TV. He's talking to me. He's there for me. He has presence. And so much of our, again, that hijacking of consciousness by emotion, we don't have presence for our spouses. But if we learn to tap and let those annoyances go, then we look into their eyes and we see them as human beings. Like this morning, I spent half an hour just connecting with my wife. I didn't, I had a busy day ahead of me, but I knew she would really appreciate just sitting with her and really tuning into her. So I tuned into her, talked to her about things, and presence, just reminding yourself to be truly present with loved ones in your life. So this learning these 12 skills allows us to let go of all of those emotional hurdles, emotional barriers that stand between us and really showing up, not just for the other person in our lives, but for ourselves. You have to have presence with yourself. You have to have self-awareness and self-love for this to happen. And that's the crucial ingredient that this can train you in. So I'm just so crazy about having people get these tools and then not have that next bad relationship, not have that next divorce, not have those kids be hurt, not have these wounds in their hearts they carry around with them.
Yeah, I know. It's really clear. And what you've put together in your 12-week course is just really comprehensive, whether you're single or you're in a relationship or you're thinking about jumping out of a relationship, giving yourself the gift of learning these skills and letting go of that past pain. And then tapping in pleasure as well is really the key. We've just got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you want to share about what the benefits of your 12-week course are?
Tapping in pleasure is another, you mentioned that, that's a lot of fun as well. And so what you do is if you can hold a state for more than 20 seconds, then you start to grow new neurons around that state. So pleasure, enjoyment, you hold that, hold it in consciousness, hold the feeling in your body, and you tap, and you then start to reinforce those pleasure circuits as well as letting the old pain circuits disappear. And these are skills that are useful for anybody. So if someone's in a relationship, then learning the skills that will allow them to do their relationship differently is important. We find that couples who've been together a long time, for example, where the relationship's stale, this can help them enliven the relationship. If it's a new couple and they're just into a relationship, then how can you make that honeymoon phase last forever? If you aren't in a relationship, then how do you, when you approach the next relationship, how do you not repeat the mistakes you made in the last one? I worked with one therapist, for example, in Ireland, and again, a lot of these people allowed us to use their names in the testimonials, and so she allowed us to use her profession and her name. Her name is Jude, and she said, I'm single right now. I've done tapping deep intimacy, and I'm not in a relationship, but there are people in my family I haven't spoken to for years, and all that alienation is going away, and we're connecting again. With my colleagues, there are people in my work I had so much tension with. I've used EFT now, and that tension with my colleagues is going away. Another woman emailed us and said, my skin's clearing up, because again, all those stress hormones aren't circulating in her body. So it works if you're single, it works if you're in a new relationship, it works if you're in an old relationship, and if you do this, if you learn these skills and apply them, what then happens is you start to have this pleasure, this joy, and that feeling you've always had of knowing it was possible to have a fantastic relationship becomes true, becomes real, becomes manifest in your life. And then rather than relationships being a source of anguish and pain and frustration and disappointment, they become the source of incredible, deep, rich nurturing. And that's what I so want for people to do is learn these skills. Take the Tapping Deep Intimacy course, learn those 12 skills, one each week of the 12 weeks of the course. Also, another cool thing is we give you a year of coaching calls after the course is over. So you take the course, but then for a year, we want to reinforce those skills in your neural network. So live with me every month, we do a live coaching call, and we reinforce those skills. And over the course of that year, you're literally rebuilding your brain, so the whole way you do relationships is different neurologically after the course than before the course. So again, it is possible to have that wonderful, beautiful, loving relationship you've dreamed of. You do need to do the work. You need these 12 skills. But if you'll commit and do that, you'll find you have a relationship future that is not at all like a relationship past.
For everybody who's listening, if you want to check out Dawson's amazing 12-week course, there's a link on the delivery page where you access this audio. And Dawson, I just want to thank you again. I'm so one of your big fans of who you are and what you do in the world and all the service that you do, particularly to our military that comes back with PTSD and how you provide your tapping services and all your coaches to them. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just been a delight talking with you.
It's been wonderful, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to be here and share with your fantastic community. I really appreciate that, Ariel. I just love you and who you are and what you've done with your life.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.